Praise the Lord. 1 John. First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 and verse 10. Amen. Got to say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we are. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Read it again to you. A lot of meaning. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I want to preach on that love trail that's in the Bible. God being my helper, hearing his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's a long, winding trail. You see, this started before time began. It winds its way all the way through, widens itself, but it comes out to all people and to all nations. A trickle that starts ends up a mighty flood that carries away. No one can follow Jesus very far without you knowing and seeing that he insists upon his disciples loving one another. You cannot be the disciple of Christ without having love one to another. Amen. The dominating factor in Christianity is not power. It's the power of love. Christianity is a movement of love. It starts with Jesus and it carries us away. We are caught in the great sweep of it now. We would not be here tonight except for an experience with Jesus Christ that put love in our heart that we have a hard time explaining, but we know it's there. Because the time before we met him, it wasn't there. And after we met him, it was there. So we trace it back and we find out that the love that we have, we love him because he first loved us.
Right?
So we're talking tonight about this love. Now it's not hate, but it's love. It's not law, but love. It's not fear, but love. Not zeal, but love. Not force, but love. Not knowledge, but love. Not morality, but love. Not holiness, but love. Not victory, but love. Not service, but love.
Amen.
The reason that we are Christians tonight is God so loved the world.
Right.
And in that great net, he caught us. When he cast that love into the world, it caught us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We don't want to just talk about religion, pure religion, undefiled. We have it because we are children of his love. It touches every chord of our life, this love does. It sweeps all the moods of our life. It affects us where we're sleeping or walking or thinking. We all come back to that one thing that condemns us all. When we meet somebody, we have a hard time loving. Amen. When we meet that person that we have a hard time loving, we know we have come to the limit of our Christianity. And we want to go back and say more of Jesus, more of the Lord, until we can even get to the grace where we love our enemies.
Amen.
All right. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So it runs through everything, because in this great Christianity is the music of love. Christianity is the first and the foremost of any religion, that it puts fear away. It's not a religion of force, and it's not a ritual religion. It's not a dogma or doctrine religion. It's not a mystery religion. It's just simply the religion of love. And everybody who refuses to love soon leaves it. We have more people backslide because they leave their first love than any other reason. You have to leave that first love in order to break his commandments. Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And when that love is strong, we're obedient people. We walk circumspectly. We want to please him. We don't want anyone to think a bad thought about him. So we keep ourselves because we love him.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, a lot of folks, you know, just they just don't understand the importance of it. And you can soon tell those who don't, because they get gripey. They get critical.
Right.
They murmur. Complain. All of that is just a sign of a lack of love. If you treated your companion like you treated Jesus, you'd probably be divorced by now. They wouldn't tolerate. They wouldn't tolerate your moodiness. They would want to know what's wrong. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Or we just say, well, you know, Brother Benny, I just don't feel good today. But it doesn't run on feelings. It runs on the fact that God loved us and lifted us up out of a horrible life. Most of us here had a past. And that past was in the pit. And the pit was dark. And the pit was horrible. And what we've done in the pit, we'd rather leave in the pit. And that's exactly where God leaves it. Because he loves us.
Yes.
Love was the soul and the substance of what Jesus taught. When they asked him what God is, he said, God is love. And do you know that's biblical? God is love. Amen. If you puncture him and he could pour out any substance, it would be love. If you sauce him around and anything would come out, it would be love. God is love. Not God can love, or God should love, or God ought to love. God is love. That's how important it is for us to realize that God loved us. He couldn't do anything else. When they asked him what God looked like, he painted a picture of fatherhood. And the picture was very true. He said, not only is he your God, but he is your heavenly Father. And when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven.
Right.
He painted a picture of God as being a Father.
Right.
Amen. Right. Even went so much to say, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? God's love cannot be measured by the yardstick of man's affections, because man's affections is all derived from God. The great Niagara of love is God. The creeks and the branches and the rivers may all flow in greatness or in wine away to the little branches of life, but it's still the great Niagara that brings God's love to bear. When they ask him why he came, he said, he came because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, that's why I came.
Amen.
The Father sent me because he so loved you.
Right.
I wish you'd help me preach.
Right.
You see, when they ask him how they should live, he told them they ought to love one another. Just that simple. He said, want to know how I want you to live? Love one another.
Amen.
When they asked him about the law, he looked at him and told them that the law is fulfilled in love. If you love, you'll not break the law. When they asked him about the Sabbath, he just stood up and said, the Sabbath, you want to know about the Sabbath? Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God made the seventh day with you in mind because he loved you. And if he hadn't told you not to work on it, we'd be working 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Man will not even slow up. So it's God knowing that man has to have rest. God loves us. Amen. When they argued with him and urged him to call fire down upon his enemies, he went to another village and taught them how to love their enemies. And when it was time to fulfill his will, he went right through Samaria. The awkward position for a man of his taste and his caliber and those who's following him. But he went right there, sat down on the well, and waited on a woman who was looking for real love. And he gave her the key. You see, when they ask him to condemn sinners, he turns around and he forgives a harlot, goes to dinner with a publican, and then he opens heaven up and takes a thief right into paradise. That's love. Can anybody say that's love? That's love. When they talked to him about their fears and the forebodings, he just simply said, perfect love casteth out fear. It seems like love is the answer to every life's problem. If we just love one another, wouldn't we have a wonderful community? If we just love one another, wouldn't we have a wonderful marriage? If we just love one another, wouldn't we have a wonderful home life? Isn't love the answer?
Amen.
Will love work ill? No. Love is one of those great things that is only explained when it is God that's saying it. And it's always the same. Old, old story. Leave love out of the teaching of Jesus and it's just another vain try to please God. Put the love of God in it and all of a sudden you have a gospel. And the gospel means good news. What's good news? God's not angry. What's the good news? God has made an attempt to make peace with you. What's the good news? God don't want you blinded by Satan. God don't want you to be in a prison house. God don't want you to be a slave to yourself and to your lust. God wants you to be free. So how does God do it? He loves you into freedom. Because he can't make you be free, but he can make you want to be like him. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's a lot of folks I know that don't agree with that. They just don't agree with it at all. They want to hang a sinner over hell and let his toes catch on fire. But fear only works for a little while. How many know that? After a while, fear just doesn't have the ability. But love never loses its attraction. Fall in love, and almost 50 years later, you're still in love. Fall in love, and all of a sudden, you just your whole life is changed because of one factor, love. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He said, who came to save the lost? Jesus did because he loved us. You travel and follow it. It goes right by Calvary's cross. He didn't give us the Calvary on Mount Sinai. He gave us Calvary right outside Jerusalem. He gave us Calvary right there. There on that hill overlooking God's city that had God's great temple. Had God's priest and God's worship and God's law, and God's choir singing. On the outside of that city, you find love hanging with a banner unfurling. And whosoever will now, let him come. You don't have to get to God through rituals. You don't have to get to God through a sacrifice. You don't have to come to God bearing your own sins. Now, because love's banner is unfurled on a tree outside of Jerusalem, now the curse is gone, and love runs like a river to whosoever will. Black, white, yellow, red, ignorant, learned, ugly and beautiful. It doesn't matter. God's out to save you because He loves you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God.
Amen. We like the Old Testament characters, but when you compare them with Jesus, Moses was good, and he was good enough for a lot of people to try to imitate, but he was never good enough to compare to Jesus Christ. Neither was Jacob or David or Elijah or Jeremiah or Isaiah. None of them was good enough to compare to Jesus Christ. They all in their own way loved their people. But no one could love you like Jesus. And he proved it in taking your sins and bearing them to a cross and dying in your stead and paying your sin debt. Oh, how he loved me. And not only did he pay my sin debt, but he vowed never to leave me, never to forsake me. And that's got to be love.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
You see, Jesus had more than all of the Old Testament prophets. He had more than Moses. Moses had the law, but Jesus had, not only did he fulfill the law, but he gave you a love that you could fulfill it. Not only did David write Psalms, but Jesus fulfilled them and makes them real to you today. Not only did Isaiah and the prophets weep over their people and lament their people, but Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He actually shed tears at the grave of a friend. And oh, the crowd said, oh, how he loved him. Amen. Jesus was not just national. He was international. He reaches out to every country. There were reformers in the prophets, but Jesus was a savior. Christ's message was love, and nobody can compare to him. No one can preach you a gospel that doesn't have love in it and it move you. Amen. Nothing is more cornless or spineless or forceless than somebody up there preaching and you know they can't stand you. Amen. They think you're not saved and you know you are. And you can't hardly tolerate it. You just can't hardly wait till it's over because something is missing. And that something that's missing is love. Jesus always approached every man with love. Did he not love Legion?
Amen.
It's almost intolerable to kind of love that kind of man. He went around naked, lived in the tombs, cut himself, went around screaming, could not be tamed, could not be yoked, could not be chained. He was a fearsome man. But he came running and fell down at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus didn't say, I'm too good for you. You are a rotten devil. But he seen in that man that he could be clothed and given his right mind. And then he would love so much that he would go and publish the gospel. He would want to follow Jesus. What drew him? What opened up that new life to him? He had met a man who loved him more than he knew he was worth loving. And when we come back to our story, isn't that the reason we're here?
Amen.
Ain't nobody ever loved me because I wasn't worth loving. But Jesus, while I was yet in my sins, loved me and gave himself for me.
Yes.
And died in my stead.
Yes.
Listen to John in the book of Revelation when he said, who loved us and gave himself for us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him. Man, that's a long ways from the pit where I was at. And love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. But what lifted me? Love. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I know we use the word, and it's really a flimsy word today, because we all say, I love flowers, and I love music, and I love Cadillacs, and I love this, and I love that, and I love my cute little dog, and I love my little cat, and I love pumpkin pie, and, you know, we just use the love, and we get to the same kind of flippancy when we get to God. We say, I love God. It is no wonder that we have to verify it now. That's why we say, I love God with my whole heart. I love God with all my heart. Because we know we just used that word love and associated that word love with a lot of things that's not worth loving. But then we say, well, I've got to say something about God. So we try to tell and convince God that we love Him by saying, I love you with my whole heart. I love you more than life. We're just trying to verify that word. But God doesn't need you to verify it. God needs you to receive it. And when you receive the love of God, you'll find there is no need to verify to God that you love Him. He knows it. Stop before the cross long enough to hear Jesus say to the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, and say, what could have forced him to love that thief who had just cussed him out? He didn't have to. God is love. You don't have to make somebody love somebody when they are love. Listen to him say to this woman taken in the very act of adultery. Listen to him. As he says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What drove that? She was worthy of death.
Amen.
According to the law, she should die.
Right.
Jesus doesn't even bring the law up. He just says, I don't condemn you because I've got something in me that won't let me condemn you. For I came to save you. And how can I save you and kill you? If I'm going to kill you, then I can't be your savior. But if I spare you, I can be your savior. And he came to save such a one as that. Didn't he do it? Taken in the very act of adultery, he says to her only one thing. Don't sin no more like that. Don't sin. Love is the answer. Before you clamor too much that it's too easy, it's too slurpy and sloppy, just kneel beside Peter there on the shore of Galilee and that dawning day and that in that early morning light, listen to Jesus as he says over and over again to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?
Right.
Why did he ask him that? Because he had to come back to love.
Right.
He couldn't doubt his love. He had to make him understand that love, Peter, the next time, if you love me right, you will die for me. Hallelujah. Love is the great note in the song that Jesus sings. Love. I don't despise it. Jesus practiced it. Three great things that I'm going to hurry and try to close. I want to talk to you about the love of Christ and being uncaused. I want to talk to you about the love of Christ being unselfish. And I want to talk to you about the love of Christ being unending. Just those three things, if you can remember them, I want to talk to you about uncaused, unselfish, and unending. That's a little bit hard here at the first, so hang with me. How many is going to hang with me? I want you to understand, it's uncaused. That is, it was not caused. It was not produced. It always existed. It is not our love to God, but His love to us. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. It's uncaused.
Amen.
God don't love you because.
Right.
You see, a lot of folks think that you gotta be this or you gotta be that, but that's not the way God is. God is love. He loved us when we were at our worst, not our best.
Right.
Because we never gave God our best yet.
All right,
I stand corrected. I know somebody out there is going to say, but I am. Okay, you're excused. But all the rest of us, we're still working on trying to get to that best. Because we know we've never achieved it yet. So God didn't save me because I was at my best. God saved me when I was at my worst. So I cannot say that my love for God when I was at my worst was any kind of love at all. But God was loving me, and the cause was uncaused. I didn't do anything to do that. I was sinning when he first loved me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Sinning when he first loved me. But it sums all up in one word, love. God loves us not because of what we are, but because of what he is.
Amen.
Amen. It makes you understand things. His love, therefore, is not called forth by merit and goodness. It's not because we are something, nor obedience, and not even by our needs. It was there already. You see, God loved, and that love was pre-existence without a need of cause to produce it. When did God first love you? Before the foundation of the world. Now, he didn't have any cause to love you because there was no cause to love.
Right.
There was no world, no angels. There was no man. There was no Adam. There was no Eve. There was nothing there. But yet God loved because it is a pre-existent love, and he doesn't need a cause to produce it because he is God. He is love. He doesn't need a cause to love you.
Amen.
Well, then I'll make you just throw song books up in the air and take your shoes off and just want to run around the building. You know, the reason you're having a hard time with this is because this just goes against your grain. Because you feel so goody-two-shoed. And you just think that the reason God fell in love with you, he didn't have a choice. You're right. He didn't have a choice. Because that's exactly what God is. God is love. But he didn't give you that love. You didn't earn that love. We didn't obey him. We didn't do his holy will. We were not good people. But regardless of whether we were good or extremely bad, he has always loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, that's the good, that's the bad, that believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It antedates the world. It precedes our being. It's not produced by foreknowledge. Love is before foreknowledge. It's as old as God himself because God is love. Hence, love is uncaused. You understand God does not make love any more than the sun makes light? The sun is light. Put the sun anywhere and you got light. Put God anywhere and you got love. God is love. Sun is light. God is love. God's love is timeless. He loved the world before the world was even made. He sent his Son to be our Savior. He did not send for Christ. He sent Christ to us. Redemption originated in heaven and came to earth. Love came from heaven to earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, but Calvary was always in the heart of God. God knowing. Amen. He can no longer stop loving us. He'll never stop loving us. And that's where we sometimes get our minds so fuddled. We think we've got a God that's angry more than he is in love. He is not in a good mood. He's annoyed. But that's not true. We watch humans that are supposed to be sweetly sanctified and they get annoyed. And we think God's like that. But God ain't like that.
Right.
Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then His love is the same. Their love, therefore, is not caused, but it's an uncaused thing, because love is the great first cause of everything. If God did not love, He would have never created. If God did not love, He would have never made an angel. If God did not love, you'd never seen Him making man out of mud, reaching down over there and breathing into his nostrils and making him a living soul. If God did not love, we would still be in darkness, and there would be no hope, because there would be no man, and there would be no world, and there would be nothing, because God don't need nobody to be God.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
But because God is love, God wanted your fellowship. And He wrote your name in a book of life while He was yet thinking about you in eternity past. He wrote your name down and made a date with you to save you. I remember that. I get religious about this time of year when I think about how awful I was and how kind God was that He came and dealt with my heart and allowed me a chance to repent. There was millions that have died that's never had that chance. But God gave it to us. He is and always was and will be forever. That's what He is love. You can't change that. And it would do us a world of good if we could just back away from this ungodly attitude that God has put out with us and God is not pleased with us. God loves us.
Amen.
Do you understand what the church is? The church is the betrothed of Christ.
Amen.
He loved us and gave Himself for us and purchased us, got down on one knee and asked us to marry Him.
Right.
Did you think anybody loved you and want to spend all eternity with you? Jesus loves you that much.
Amen.
Amen. It's unselfish. The love of God is unselfish. It seems a little thing to say about such a great theme. It's not easy to find words that's got the capacity for this big enough to hold the thoughts of God's love. His love does not count cost. It is unselfish. His love does not count cost. When one thinks of the resources that are at the disposal of omnipotence, yet God keeps in mind that love taxes every bit of the omnipotence of God. He spends all He has to save us and is willing to spend everything He has to keep us.
Amen.
And the reason that He wants to keep us is because He loves us.
Amen.
Amen. God suffers when those He loves suffers. He's unselfish. We have a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities.
Right.
How many know that?
Amen.
And so I shout amen real loud.
Amen.
It's right there. He loves us so much that He feels for us.
Amen.
Amen. And there is where we must understand. Our prayers do not go unanswered. But God reserves the right, because He loves us, to keep us from asking for things that will hurt us. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And we have the petition of which we ask. It's love that makes the danger. You see, Calvary was a great unveiling of the unselfishness of God's love. Jesus emptied Himself out in order to go to Calvary. He laid aside His reputation. He laid aside His good Godhead. And He come down and endured the cross, despised the shame. If you ever get to be able to read the story of the crucifixion, they don't even tell a little bit of it. That was God. How do you inflict these wounds on a God? How does a God bleed? How does a God suffer? He does it because He loves us. He come to taste death for us all. He come to bear those stripes that we might be healed. He come to pay the penalty of our sin debt that we could go free.
Amen.
That's why God did it. The only thing that kept Jesus on the cross was love, not nails.
Amen.
The only thing that kept him at the whipping post was not the rope that held him, but the love that he had for us when we're sick and afflicted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, love was there. Love was the binding factor. He was bound to us. He would not leave us. It was an unselfish love. Amen.
Amen.
And because it is so unselfish, it is there that you find 1 Corinthians 13. And you ought to read it. Read it in the light of the unselfishness of God's love. Read it again and again. Until you understand that if love is powerful enough in your life, you will be able to live a 1 Corinthians chapter 13 love. And remember what Paul said, that without charity, we become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. We are nothing.
Amen.
So before you cast away this sermon on love, it's not because I'm getting old and sentimental and slurpy and sloppy. I'm challenging you to move up a notch. I'm challenging you to be a Christian like you've never been a Christian before. I'm challenging you to love that lost man out there like you've never been loved before. Love that sinner like he's never been loved before. Let love into that prayer. Let love into that sacrifice. Let love into that invitation. Let love be into that greeting. And all of a sudden, love will open doors that have been knocked closed by the very viciousness of Christians in time past. And a lot of people don't come to church because of Christians.
Amen.
They're not kept out of here by other sinners. They're kept out of here by Christians. And love has to go undo all that. Amen. Love is kind, suffereth long, vaunteth not itself. Every soul that's born again is born again at Calvary in the sight of a suffering Savior who loved you and gave himself for you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
They tell the story, it's a French story, of a young man who went over there to Paris to study art, and he fell in with a bad woman, and his mother sensed it in his letters that something was happening to her son. And she got on the boat and went to France and moved in with her boy and came between him and his lover. When his lover said, "If you love me, you'll give me the heart of your mother. You will kill her and bring me her heart." So the young man, so infatuated, he kills his mother, cuts out her heart. And on his way, this French said, and this is just a story. It's just a story, not factual, okay? But they do it to tell of an American woman's love for her child. That he got his mother's heart in his hands and he's running to his paramour to show her his love for her. And he trips and falls, and the heart falls out of his hands and lands on the concrete. And they say in the story that a voice comes out of the heart, the voice of his mother saying, "Son, are you hurt?" That even after you wrong a mother and cut her heart out, she will still love you. Oh, somebody ought to say amen. God is asking, are you hurt? After we walk over him, cuss him, do him wrong, he said, are you hurt? I've come to heal that hurt. I've come to help that hurt. I've come to take that hurt away. God will say, let me heal you. Let me love you. Let me lead you home. It's unselfish. Then last, it's unending. I can't conceive a good mother ever ceasing to love her children. I can't conceive it. My mother loved me up until the day of her death. My wife loves her children. now, as passionately as she loved him when she had him at home. She loves her grandchildren the same way. Her love has not diminished. It's actually taken on added responsibility. She reaches out to her children and her children's children now. And chances are, if the children's children have children, she'll reach out for them. If God put that kind of love in a mother's heart that's unending from generation to generation, how much more is God's love? No matter how you treat God, He's going to end up loving you. No matter what you do to God, He's going to end up loving you. It's as old as God. It's if unending, it will live as long as God. It is eternal. Love will be the atmosphere of the new world and the new heaven. Love will be there because God is going to come and live with men. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Does this mean that you get second and third chances? No, it doesn't guarantee you anything. It just never, love never closes the door. When the gate is shut, you shut it. When the love is spurned, you spurn it. When the love is done wrong, you've done it. Because God's love is unending. God loves you with an unending love. He's not going to change His mind about you tomorrow. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Tomorrow, God will love you like He loved you today and like He loved you in eternity. God is not going to change His love because He can't. God is unchanging, therefore His love is unchanging. When God lets you close that door because you leave your first love, you become bankrupt. You become bankrupt of that love because you've left it. If you would have stayed with it, it would have been eternal.
Right.
You've got a hard heart and getting a stiff neck, and you've hardened yourself against Him until you are past feeling. And the Bible says there's some who have seared their conscience,
right,
who are past feeling. There's others who God allowed to get a reprobate mind. But if you've got your right mind, God's love is still unending. It still waits today with the same potent force as it did when you first received it.
Right.
I cannot say God has fallen out of love with me. I have to tell Him, oh God, help me to love You more.
Right.
Because sometimes I feel my ardor cooling off. And I know it shouldn't. Because He's been better to me than anyone I know. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It's not that God is changing. He is changeless. He is timeless. Amen. He's wider than all the worlds, older than all the years, higher than all the heights, deeper than all the depths, longer than all the spans of time, sweeter than all music, kinder than all tears, stronger than death, holier than heaven. Along its path walks Jesus Christ, bringing God's love to us. His banner over us is love.
Amen.
Let me read it to you again, my text. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. O love that wilt not let me go, I cannot close my heart to Thee. O love that will not let me go. And that's God's love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The writer says these words: could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall evermore endure the saints' and angels' song. When holy times shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, When men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. That guy knew what he was talking about, didn't he? And he put in song in just a few minutes what I could not put in preaching in a half an hour. Can you sing it? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sins. Oh, love of God. Oh, love of God. Oh, love of God. Where would I be without your love? What would I be without your love? An empty, vain, rattling scarecrow of no use to anyone. What makes me love? God. What keeps me in love with God? God pouring out his love. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How often? Daily. Daily. Amen. Stand with me. Sister Sutherland, come and help me sing. 220 in your book. If you want to grab a book, we'll sing a little bit. Allow you to come.